In recent years, there has been a movement behind using music to close the academic gap. But how can we accomplish this with the cost of acquiring and maintaining most musical instruments far exceeds the budget of the average family? Enter Concerto Strings and its founder, Jeff Dixon. I'm Scott Catoon, and this is Technori Live. Welcome to the show, Jeff.
Thank you so much.
So, ironically enough, when I was at Northwestern, and we've got a couple of Northwestern ties here, because Mingyu was the one that set this whole thing up for us, and he's
yep.
an NU guy.
He sure is.
I was at the School of Communications for a master's degree, and they had an article that they were working very heavily in a scientific research project out in the West Coast about the link between getting instruments and things in the hands of young children early on and teaching them and sort of watching the way that they figure out, without being taught, figure out how to use a musical instrument. And then once they figure out how to make the sounds that actually mean something, then they are much easier to be taught.
Correct.
And then once you get them to that point, they perform better academically, they perform better on tests, they have more cognitive skills, they develop their other skills faster, all these things. And that was cool because that was going on in the same building that I was in, so I got to see like all these results, and they bring these kids in, and I always thought, man, like, this is so obvious. Why would you not bring this into inner cities and areas where you don't have, you know, people in schools and things? And then someone answered the question for me, and that was that it's too expensive and too difficult to find the actual instruments, and to find instruments that aren't pieces of garbage, which is what usually ends up in the hands of the schools that can't afford stuff.
Exactly.
So when Mingyu told me about this, I thought this is a brilliant way to kind of get back in this conversation.
Absolutely.
So why don't you talk to us a little bit about what Concerto Strings is and its mission and what, you know, what you guys are doing.
Absolutely. So we have been around, well, I've been in this business for about 10 years now. Started a company, Dixon Strings, which then morphed into Dixon Stein over the years, mainly just retail.
Now, is that because people were drinking, they'd say Dixon Strings, and it just turned into Dixon Stein?
Yeah, right. Well, no, I just...
One Southern guy came in and changed it all up on everyone.
No, what happened was I took on a business partner. Her name is Liz Stein, which she's not here today, but I moved downtown. I was on the north side, Ravenswood area.
Yeah.
And she had been in the Fine Arts Building, which is a very iconic building down here, which, you know, now we have about 5 violin shops in there, I think.
That's awesome.
The opportunity to move in there and taking her on as a business partner with her connections to, like, the more of the higher end sales, which she's been around for a while, I brought in my kind of lower end, you know, everyday sales type stuff to her, and we turned into Dixon Stein. That went on for a few years, and then it turned into my my parents are actually very heavily into the arts. They're actually music educators.
I was gonna say, I mean, an assumption was made that the music has been a part of your life for the vast majority of your life.
It's in the blood. Yeah. It's in the blood. Yes. So I've been playing since I was 5, and my brother and sister both play. My parents built a music program, orchestra program up in Mequon-Thiensville. I don't know if you know. It's just a suburb north of Milwaukee.
Yep, Mequon, yep.
I mean, for years.
I went to Marquette for undergrad. So,
oh, you did? Yeah. So you know,
I know
the area.
Yeah.
And, you know, they kind of pitch you one day. They're like, well, you know, what about rentals? You know, I mean, not everybody can always afford, you know, even if it's, you know, a retail violin for $900 coming
it's
up
not
with
cheap.
That. No, you know, it's not cheap at all. And so... I mean, other companies have, you know, existing rental programs and stuff like that. And so I thought, okay, well, let's test it out. You know, the downsides to me is, you know, the organization with me sometimes a little bit, you know, I'm all over the place, a little scatterbrained. I got that right brain, you know, artsy. That's why I needed somebody like a Mingyu to come in and, you know.
He keeps you accountable. He keeps everyone accountable.
He definitely keeps me working.
He keeps me accountable.
Oh, man, he doesn't stop, you know. So, business plan, Concerto Strings, and so now we can have, I mean, we can offer a fine, you know, a nice quality instrument for, you know, $25 a month for a violin, you know. And then you're accruing rental credit. And this way it's people that can, like, actually – figure out if the kids, you know, a student or an adult, you know, really wants to take this on as something in the long term before they dedicate dollars into the instrument. And, you know, otherwise they can just return it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the part. So there's a couple pieces here. And this is, I think of things from a school standpoint, because I look at it and go, art art programs are getting, art and music and all these other programs are getting dropped left and right, which is the dumbest thing, because it quite literally is the fastest way to help get a person, a small person's brain moving.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
Then also gym and all these other things. Like those are the, that's where all education should probably start, and yet that's what we're cutting because it's easy. And this is a way for for schools, particularly those who are poorly budgeted, to be able to test out the interest. Can we rent 5 or 6 or 10 of these different instruments and bring them in and see if we can get the program up and running? And if we can, we see results and we can get money behind it. And it's not a huge overhead.
Right.
And you also look at, you know, instead of buying used, broken, crappy instruments where the kids are going to hear off pitch or music that doesn't sound good, which of course they're not going to keep playing it. It doesn't make any sense to me. This seems like a perfect solution for that.
It's great. And I mean, so basically what we do, we rent violins, violas, cellos, and upright basses. Yep. So that's our main, those are the main instruments.
I mean, what would you be without an upright bass?
I mean, you got to have an upright bass. I mean, good luck, you know, good luck to the parents that have to schlep that one around. I mean, now,
that's like the gunner in a military unit.
Exactly. That's right. The ease of the violin and the viola, I mean, it's a lot more easily carted around and stuff like that. You know, cellos, you know, are a little bit, you know, harder to bring around. But, you know, the upright bass, hey, they're cool looking, and they're definitely
it's a strong man in that group.
Absolutely, yeah. So that's our main thing, and we just, one of our main things with Concerto Strings is we really want to have more of like an ease of online presence, where like somebody can just a click of a button find us. You know, put in their information saying, all right, this is my, you know, my student for the 3-year-old. You know, we have a chart of like approximate age of what size you should have, arm length, you know, inches and arm length. And basically they can just throw it into a cart and they'll have it in a couple of days, you know. So that's, and that's what I think we are lacking in our industry right now is the ease of that without like getting on the phone with somebody and, however, it is a foreign thing to people.
Well, I mean? The barrier for entry into this at a certain point, if you've not been given lessons in the very, very beginning, is almost impossible, because where do you begin? I don't know what to play. I don't know the size. I don't know, you know, all this.
Well, and the parents go a little bit like, hey, we know how to buy a car, right? Yeah. We know how to rent a car.
Yeah.
Renting a violin, a viola, a cello, like what do we do? Like so we want to educate the people also with our website. You know, this is how you do this, and, you know, make it really like, not idiot proof, but you know, in a way, yes, idiot, you know, like where they're not overthinking it.
Yeah.
And it's not like an absorbent amount of money.
Less brilliant, intelligent proof.
Exactly. Yes. And the cool, a lot of us, you know, we're not the only ones that have this. We have a lot of, you know, within the city of Chicago, I've got a lot of great colleagues that run some good rental programs. You know, I think we want to branch out to say, hey, we want to, you know, service the Chicagoland area, but we also want, you know, somebody in Texas. It's like, hey, this place looks cool. You know, it looks like they have great quality instruments. I want to get one from them, you know. And they can just go through the routine, get it in the basket, and we'll send it out there. And then they start their venture with us, with our rental program.
And the other piece to this, of course, is that whether it's through the relation with Dixon Stein or whatever it is, that that they can sort of rent to buy at a certain point. They can accumulate enough credits where it's like, that conversation you mentioned before where parents are like, why am I renting a violin? Well, you're renting it because you're going to test and see whether it's the right size. Your child is going to be growing as they go through this. It's sort of like leasing shoes until they've stopped growing, and then buy the right shoes.
Yes. And like a lot of times what I tell our customers is, you know, just rent the instrument until you get to that full size.
Sure.
Full size meaning like, hey, things not getting any bigger, you know. Yeah. And then you think about, hey, how much credit have I accrued? And a lot of times, you know, people, different companies have different, you know, ways of doing it. But usually you can use 100% of that credit and you can attribute it to the purchase of an instrument. Now, that's where Dixon Stein comes in. So one of the things you got to be careful of is, you know, you rent from a company that, you know, maybe they have a decent rental program. But when it comes to buying something,
they give you a demo or something.
Well,
that's part
they
of the
just
rental
don't
program.
They don't have the retail stuff.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have the fine makers, the best makers. You know, I have some makers in Chicago that I work with that are some of the best, you know, and they range from like, you know, the 5,000s up to the 30,000s, you know. And some people get really that serious by the end of this process, you know, they're ready to put some dough into it. So some of these companies don't have, you know, they don't have much more than like a $2,500 instrument or something. And, you know, honestly, our instruments are probably just as good as those, you know, $2,500 instruments, you know, and if they're really serious, that's not going to get them very far. You know, if you want to go to the extent you want to go to college, you want to go to and start taking auditions, Chicago Symphony or all the major symphonies or gig, you know, have a freelancing career. So,
but before we kind of roll out here, I have the opportunity with the person who's been in music, you know, this amount of time. And I want to ask the question of, I assume it's sort of like golf clubs or anything else. Like if you've, there's a super high end line of them,
sure.
And those who are very good and very, you know, sharp at their game can tell the differences almost immediately. How does a normal person, just curiously, how does a normal person know the difference between, other than the thing's got a hole in it or something, it's got a whiss sound in it when you're playing it or whatever? How do you know the difference between 500, 900, 2,500, and 30,000?
You know, that's the thing. I mean, that's, you know, we all have ears. That's my opinion. Yeah. And we can tell. We have opinions. We have what we like and what we don't like. You know, I mean, that's like a very deep question because, like, you know, I've had parents come in and say, well, I like that one because, you know, this one, it's louder, you know, or this one because it's got more of a warmer tone, you know, or like a chocolatey tone, you know. I mean, you'd be surprised how many people get in there thinking they have no clue how to tell
but they, the different tones. You sort of feel out with what you like.
And when you get in there, honestly, like, you'll figure it out, you know. But sometimes, I mean, there's been situations where, you know, parents, you know, they don't like the $30,000 one. They end up choosing, you know, maybe the $10,000 one. So that's how good these modern instruments now have gotten, these makers. I mean, there could be a maker that his market isn't as big as, like, the guy that, you know, sells his for 40 because he's been around longer.
Yeah. And you is that a big part of the pricing then? Is it just the fact that it's like a signature model that's a one of a, it's like a piece of art?
Exactly.
Is that the bigger piece?
I mean, when it comes to the modern instruments, like these guys are still making.
Yeah.
The pricing of that is based on their market, basically, how long they've been making, that kind of thing, experience. And then
I find these little things to be still, like the little kind of niche areas to be so fascinating.
Yeah, and then there's a Stradivarius, you know, you talk about the old Cremonese stuff, and those hold, those are valuable because. You know, they're old and they're priceless. So, and those things you see in the news sometimes where they've gotten stolen.
Does it say the lady that got it broken on the train?
Some idiots tried to, you know, or they left him on a train or, you know, I mean, these guys and major.
They leased out $1 million instrument and they just left him on a train.
If you're walking down Michigan Avenue, I don't want to say, but there's some symphony musicians and see, they've got some hefty instruments.
I'm going to start stalking them, man. I'm going to watch them. I'll follow them all the train and make sure that they leave it behind. I'll take it back to them, but I'm going to take
it
for a little ride first.
You just want to test them out, right?
It's not a little, yeah.
They better have
got my own personal style.
They better all have taser. I think they should all carry tasers.
Use my fingers for the violin. You know, that's going to work real well.
Well, call me. I'll take some photos of it and then give it back to them.
Okay. We're going to give it back. We're going to give it back. So where do people go to kind of sign up for this new platform?
Okay, so we're just unleashing a new website for Concerto Strings. It should be out soon, like August 1st.
Okay.
I think we're shooting for. And it's www.concerto.strings. I'm sorry, www.concerto-strings.com.
Okay.
Okay. And check it out.
I was going to say, did Mingu like invent a new strings? Like, what the hell?
I think the public needs to meet Mingu. That's really, you know. We're going to put him on the website. So
he's going to be on the show next in a little while talking about Aris Tech. So it's going to be, we'll get him on here.
And we got some good promotions right now, summer promotions right now going on, renting from us. And there's going to be like where you can, the customers can, with referrals, can accrue points where they can get months, free months of rentals and stuff like that. So, yes, definitely check it out, www.concerto-strings.com.
Very cool.
Yes.
Awesome. Jeff, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks, Scott.
You can stream this episode and more on WGNBusiness.com. You can download each episode on iTunes and stay up to date by following us on Facebook and Twitter at TechNori or follow me at Katoon. Boom, that's a wrap.